Trigger warning. The following episode may contain content that some may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. In East Cleveland, Ohio, a serial killer strangles three women. He puts their bodies into trash bags, undressed from the waist down, folded in half, and then bound in that position with their feet by their head. This is the story of Michael Madison. Michael Madison's mother, Diane Baldwin, was abusive, which led him to develop this intense hatred for women. He only ever knew violence. In 1980, when he was just 2 years old, Child and Family Services discovered that young Michael's mother had stuffed food down his throat, causing him to vomit. She was frustrated about the mess that he made, and she put him in a tub of scalding hot water. When he screamed in agony from the water searing his skin, she took him out and beat him with an extension cord. Just 6 months later, at age 3, one of his mother's boyfriends beat him so badly with a belt that he vomited and then had to be hospitalized for a short while. Reports from social workers had showed that he suffered from contusions, abrasions, and even swelling on the shaft of his penis. Eventually, Child Services took him away from his mother and placed him with his grandmother, who was a former prostitute and heroin addict. After Michael's mother received counseling, the authorities decided to return Michael to his mother's care. Unfortunately, he was still a frequent patient at Mount Sinai Hospital from the constant abuse of a mother who was supposed to love him. The system had failed him. He was put back into an abusive home and continued to live a life of abuse. Michael's first sexual experience took place when he was 15 years old with a 35-year-old woman. This is predatory and exploitive. In 1993, Michael and his brother stayed with an uncle in Pennsylvania. The uncle often abused them, and he would force them to watch him have sex with multiple women and would encourage the boys to use drugs and watch pornography with him. Michael never really recalled the full extent of his abuse, and psychological experts believe that the helplessness and lack of nurturing relationships with adults led him to develop this alternate world in his mind where he could take control of his life, and that disassociation with his childhood abuse fueled that hatred towards women. He began to regularly lash out at any form of female authority, and he was convicted of rape several times prior to killing, and even had to register as a sex offender after he was caught. But he put his mother's address for the registry and not his own. Michael and his girlfriend at the time, Brittany, lived above a cable company in an apartment on Hayden Avenue in East Cleveland. In July of 2013, the workers at the cable company noticed a foul odor coming from the garage behind the building. It called the police. Police came out to investigate the garage and discovered a black trash bag jammed between Michael's car and the wall. And inside, they found the body of 18-year-old Sherelle DeTerry wrapped in a paisley-patterned sheet. Another bag was found under a brush pile behind the garage, and inside was 28-year-old Shatisha Sheely. Then another was discovered in the basement of an abandoned house about 15 to 20 yards away from that brush pile. And inside was 38-year-old Angela Deskins. Police got a warrant to search Michael's apartment since the garage was in his name. And inside his home turned up a few personal items that yielded DNA that was consistent with Sherelda's. There was also a piece of bloodstained carpet that was found in a closet that had a DNA profile that was consistent with Angela. Michael's girlfriend, Brittany, recalled that she had noticed an odor coming from that closet in May. Police also discovered a pillowcase in the apartment that had a paisley pattern that matched the sheet that Sherelda had been wrapped in. An arrest warrant was issued for Michael Madison, and they had a brief standoff at his mother's house where he was hiding out. He eventually was arrested without incident. Autopsies of the bodies revealed that Sherelda and Angela had been strangled to death with a belt. Sherelda had severe lacerations on her vagina and anus that was inflicted while she was still alive, indicating that she was raped. Shatisha had a deep bruise on her face, but her body had been so badly decomposed that that it was hard to get a cause of death. All three women had been bent at the waist and had their legs and head bound together. All three women had gone missing within the past year. 28-year-old Shatisha had last communicated with her family in September of 2012. During trial, Michael's girlfriend Brittany testified that around that time, she noticed a scab on Michael's nose, and when she asked him about it, he told her that he had broken up a fight between two girls at a club, that it was no big deal, so Brittany didn't question any more about it. 38-year-old Angela Deskins lost contact with her family around May of 2013. Angela's friend testified that he had dropped her off at an abandoned barbecue spot in East Cleveland where Michael was waiting for her. This was also the same time that the girlfriend Brittany had noticed that strong smell coming from the closet in Michael's apartment. He claimed that the smell was coming from two raccoons who had died in that front closet. And when she pressed him on the point, Michael began to sweat profusely and seemed nervous. Later that week, she could still smell the odor near the closet, and when she asked him again if that was where the raccoons were, he said that it was, in an irritated tone. "I'm tired of talking about it," he said. 18-year-old Sherelle Deterry was last seen alive on July 10th of 2013. She had met Michael a week earlier, and they had exchanged phone numbers. Over the following days, they had texted back and forth, getting to know each other. Michael told Sherelle that he was 25 years old and had no kids, when he was actually 35 and he had two children. He also lied about what he did for a living, trying to manipulate her into liking him. The two discussed when and where they might hang out. Michael suggested that Sherelle come to his place, but Sherelle smartly replied, "We can hang out, but I'm not going to your house. I don't trust you like that yet." On the afternoon of July 10th, she texted him, "Do you want to hang out now?" Michael asked if she was headed to his street, and she replied that she was on 152nd in St. Clair right now. And that was Sherelle's last text message. A few days later, Michael's girlfriend Brittany noticed a long, deep scratch on Michael's shoulder, and he told her again that he had been in some fight and there was a disgruntled girl that scratched him. During interrogation, he admitted to police that he had choked a woman to death in October of 2012. He then left his apartment and went out drinking, and when he returned home, he described that he folded her up and then put her into multiple layers of trash bags and moved her out to the garage. He left the body there for months and then moved it outside behind the garage, but he did not know the victim's name. There was a heartbreaking moment during this court case where Sherelle's father came to say his piece at the sentencing and turned to look back at Michael Madison, who was just staring at him, smiling. Sherelle's father reacted by turning his whole body around to glare at him and then lunged for Michael across the courtroom. Michael responded to the attack by laughing and smiling the whole time. At the close of the penalty phase, the jury recommended death for each aggravated murder count. The grand jury returned a 14-count indictment against Michael for rape, aggravated murder, kidnapping, and a weapons charge. I was able to watch this court case, and this asshole literally walked into the courtroom the very first time you see him on camera, and immediately flips off the courtroom. The nature of a man with no remorse for his actions, taking the lives of three women who were loved and cherished. Their families never able to speak to them again. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram to catch sneak peeks of upcoming episodes, behind the scenes, and more.